This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Xbox Game Passengers Podcast. I'm your host, Derek, and this is the show where each episode, myself and a guest will dissect and discuss a single game that's available on Microsoft's Xbox Game Pass service, which was usually chosen for us completely at random. Whether it's a magical or horrible experience, we'll force ourselves through it, share our thoughts, and let you know whether or not the game is worth your time. It's always me and a guest, and this episode, I'm super glad to have John back. John, how are you today?
Very good. Thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah, thanks so much. I mean, you were as we record this, you were just here like a week ago to talk
that's
about
true.
E3. But
that's true.
Which I think I love doing those kind of breakdown episodes and just like watching those presentations with like a bit more purpose versus just like absorbing trailers and getting hype for everything, even if it's going to turn out shitty or whatnot. I'm a sucker for hype, and so to get to share that with someone else is always super fun. So thank you for joining on that one.
No problem.
Yeah, it's a special Heatwave edition.
No kidding, eh?
I don't know if you know because you live in a nice house with modern built and modern insulation and air conditioning and all that sort of stuff. But I am sitting in my office in my underwear. Just made a picture for you, and I'm moist across my entire body.
Oh man,
it's I don't know. Like we're in,
it is the hottest I ever remember it ever being here life.
Looking at the weather app, and when it says like tomorrow in where I am, it's going to be like 42 degrees Celsius. I've never seen a temperature that high in the weather app in, locally. Like when I go to California or something like that, sure. But I've never seen that here. And I,
I was thinking about it, traveling to tropical places, I don't remember it ever being that high.
Even when we were in we went to Bali like 2 years ago and it was like mid to high 30s every day, but I don't even remember seeing that temperature on the weather app there. Like
no, it's very, very hot. And I am nicely cool and refreshed right now. I do go outside with the dog and extremely warm.
Yeah. How does your dog, my dog's like lethargic in this weather, like, and he's from Mexico, so I thought he would be fine, but he'll just like, we've got tile on our floor, like kind of part of the front of our house, and the sun doesn't really hit there because there's like a carport on the other side, so he'll just lay there for like hours and not move, and I'll be like, oh shit, like where did the dog get out, where's the dog, and like he's just laying there and he never moves. Is your dog, which is very young,
she's a puppy, so but that being said, she definitely does just like to try and vibe in the shade. She's actually, ever since she's been very, very young, even when it wasn't super hot, she didn't really like to be in the sun very much. She's just off in the shade. Same deal.
Yeah. Yeah. We were just talking about doing an E3 episode. You revealed on that episode that you had spent hundreds of hours watching Flight Simulator videos. I just want to know, we've been a few weeks have passed. Have you played Flight Simulator yet?
No, but I've watched a lot of videos.
A lot more videos since then?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of new stuff. No, I haven't played it yet. It'll happen.
I think like when it comes on Xbox, it'll happen.
I think for sure it'll happen when we come on Xbox.
Yeah.
You actually sent me the link to that newly announced accessory, which looks pretty impressive, from Turtle Beach, actually. So that will likely be my first, attempt to actually play it. It just really comes down to the fact that I don't have a computer capable of really doing it right now.
Sure.
And I'm not going to go half in and buy something that is I'm going to want to replace almost immediately. So until I can afford the, you know, 3090 build with, you know, enough RAM and all that stuff, I'm just going to wait it out.
I'd rather just watch compressed YouTube videos instead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's weird. It's a bit weird.
Well, as you know, I also don't really have the time right now.
It sounds like you do based on all the videos you're watching.
Well, videos are a little bit more passive. You can kind of vibe on them in bed when you're about to fall asleep or whatever.
I mean, couldn't you do that on a flight too? Like when you're, you know, here to Los Angeles is 3 hours. Like, what are you doing at hour 1.25, you know?
Take off as you go to sleep and land as you wake up. Yeah.
Just put headphones on and you'll just get the nice whirring of the engines and everything.
Exactly.
Like that. Yeah. But we're here to talk about something else today. We are here to talk about Titanfall 2. Which we both just played through. We played a little bit of multiplayer together too, so I'm excited. You know, it's so hard to like play a game together and not be like, oh, this is a cool weapon, or like, this is weird that this occurs. So we played a bunch of it, and I don't know what you thought about it at this point. Before we jump into our thoughts, do you want to give us a synopsis of the game?
You bet. And I've never read this, so it'll be interesting now that I've played through the game to see what they say. Call down your Titan and get ready for an exhilarating first-person shooter experience in Titanfall 2. The sequel introduces a new single-player campaign that explores the bond between pilot and Titan, or blast your way through an even more innovative, intense multiplayer experience featuring 6 new Titans, deadly new pilot abilities, expanded customization, new maps, modes, and much more.
So have you played Titanfall ever before playing this game?
I had never seen the game before playing this game. No.
I remember I don't know why, but I see a trailer, I get excited, I buy the thing. But I remember the first game like being announced and seeing pretty cool trailers for it. And I loved the idea of like it just looked very fast, but not like fast in like, oh, one shot and you're dead. Fast in terms of like movement and like the sliding and the wall running and all that sort of stuff. That really caught my eye, and obviously the Titans, to the point where when the first game came out, I bought that right away. I bought some special limited edition like Titanfall orange and white Xbox controller. Like I was like, this is gonna be great. I'm getting into this. And then I maybe put like an hour or two into the game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it was I don't even remember when the first game came out. It was like pretty early. Like I don't think this Xbox One S had been out yet, so it was like just the first iteration of the Xbox One. So pretty early on. And
well, something I didn't realize till I'd already been playing for a while is even Titanfall 2 is well, no, I knew that, but I didn't realize that this game already was a decent age, like 4 or 5 years.
Came out in 2016. Right? I had to look it up actually because I thought it looked really good.
Yeah. Exactly. So it hasn't aged at all.
No.
If it came out now, I don't think anyone would really question it. Maybe a little bit now with the new console generation, but, it doesn't look like it's age at all.
No, and I believe it did have a like an Xbox One X version of the game as well, so it did perform better on that console, which is obviously the version that we're playing. So it looked better than it would have on the standard consoles. But yeah, I was like I thought it might like maybe 2018 or 2019, both because I didn't think it had been that long since it came out, but especially because it looked fantastic. I still thought. What did you think of it? In any case,
what did I think of
before we get into like spoilers, like over like general thoughts on the game?
So I think, you know, I've done a bunch of these games with you, and pre-COVID you and I had our other podcast. This is the first time I think I have finished the game entirely, which I'm really glad I did, and you recommended that. Not a super long campaign. I think you said initially 6 to 7 hours. I think it probably took me more like 7 or 8.
Okay.
But initial reaction when I started playing the game was not great.
Really?
Initially. It was just kind of like generic seeming to me.
Okay.
You know, for the first probably, you know, you do the training missions and then you go through, and the first 30 minutes was kind of just, I mean, it was good first person shooting.
Sure.
But it was just somewhat generic first person shooting 100%. with a little bit of Titan dynamic. You know what I mean? You weren't really using the Titans right away. So initially I was just kind of, I mean, it looked good. Yeah. For sure. Final feelings is I loved it. It was amazing. Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. And there's a lot we can get into why, but, it was the kind of game that like, once I finished it, I was harassing my daughter to download it and play.
Really?
I was like, you got to play this. It's really, really good. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, no, I couldn't, I loved it. It was great. Mm-hmm. And then of course I always, after we do this, I tend to then go look and see what the actual general consensus on the game was. And of course it's extremely well regarded and super well reviewed, which I didn't know, going in, cause I didn't really know anything about it, but it, in the end, I just totally agreed with all of the reviews and you know, it was great. But what about you?
I was pretty, and I kind of knew, like having played a couple of hours of the first one, at least I kind of knew what I was going to be getting into, like mechanic wise, which I remember, like it was so long ago that I didn't really remember what it felt like, but I remembered enjoying it at that point. So as soon as we kind of jump into the game, I was like, oh yeah, this feels great. Like why did I not play this when it came out, first of all, or at any other point in the past 5 years? Because I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just like, and the like campaign wise, the story, the plot, it, I don't know if it ever kind of evolves beyond being like fairly generic feeling, aside from like the character and relationship that is kind of built throughout the game. Like overall plot wise, it's like there's good guys and there's bad guys, and you know.
So for me, in terms of plot and campaign and story, I mean, you're not shedding a tear at any point. I mean, it's not like super deep in my opinion.
Right.
But what I really enjoyed about that campaign is they kept introducing really amazing mechanics in a way that I didn't expect. Cause of course I went into it and for the first hour, it's kind of just first person shooting.
Yeah.
Right. And then it just kind of
cooler
builds on
first
it.
Person shooting, cooler first person shooting, because you're double jumping and you're jumping off the walls and you're like, oh, there's a giant gap. How am I going to get past this gap? And it's like, oh, well, if you wall run on this wall and then you double jump and then you hit this wall, you'll want like, yeah, I but was even, all for even, that right away.
For sure. But even as the campaign goes, it becomes more of a vital part of the game. You can go through the first hour with a lot less of that.
Sure.
Whereas as you progress, it becomes obviously more and more challenging and more of a, important part of the gameplay.
100%.
And I mean, to one point I was like, so is this a first person shooter or a platformer?
Like, yes. Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, like you're literally having to do timed jumps and runs and,
which I loved.
Yeah. And it was, it was again, a whole different mechanic I wasn't expecting. Mm-hmm. Initially, and again, that there's a whole different dynamic, and then you know we can get into it, but the mechanics of like the time travel and all that stuff, it was like so although the story wasn't, you know, amazingly deep, it was fine, it was good, but what where the depth came from was the increase in mechanics and sort of how you would get through a level. It's not just start to, you know, start at point A, shoot a bunch of people, get to the end line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was always a different sort of dynamic you had to be taking into account through that journey from the start or end.
Totally. Yeah. No, I agree with that. I don't know. I just really liked I just feel like it felt so fluid, the motion of the game as a whole. And that impressed me from the start. And then it's so interesting because it's such a contrast between like your on foot stuff, because you can run really fast and all of the crazy jumping and sliding across stuff and all of that sort of stuff. And then it's a totally different dynamic when you finally get into a Titan and it's like very powerful, but pretty slow. And then like, it's all like trying to, you know, it becomes much more time based. I feel like in that you are having to, like most of the Titans have like a shield and you can maybe like, you can shield stuff, or some of the shields like will hold on to the projectiles and then like throw them back at the enemy. So it's all about like timing that sort of stuff. And it becomes a much more slower paced game at that point as well, when you do get to do that stuff. And it feels totally different, but it feels like cool. And like I actually, you know, you feel the weight of the Titan because of how slow it moves, and you have like this like little boost dodge thing, but you can only use it every once in a while. And when you like punch another Titan and stuff like that, the sound is really like quite epic. That was one thing I thought was really impressive, was the sounds in this game from the voice acting, which, you know, between Jack Cooper and BT, like the two main characters, I thought was really excellent. But like the music when it hit, but the guns sounded phenomenal. I thought I played this game like entirely with a headset. I don't know if you, what you did, but like the, just like the heavy bass of some of the guns, like just, it was like some of the most impressive game sound that I can recall in the past little while.
Yeah. And it's interesting you point that out because I don't think I've really thought about it, but I found myself numerous times when I was in the Titan trying to somehow be quicker. Cause you like, you go, when you're out of the Titan and you're in this mindset of just run and jump and
like never
slide
stop
and,
moving.
Yeah. And then you get into a Titan and you just naturally want to be like, okay, is there, am I missing the run button or something?
Yeah.
Cause, or the jump, cause you can't jump really.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, that's a good call out and definitely something I noticed as well.
Did you feel like, so we, and we'll get into like some spoilers shortly, but once we both, once we had played it a bunch, then we jumped into some multiplayer together. How did you feel? And we played like pretty standard modes, so it was like deathmatch-y modes. But in those modes, you the better you do, you build up like your Titan meter, and then you can spawn your Titan. How did you feel about like having the Titans in like a multiplayer setting as well?
It was cool. Yeah, I think you know based on where we were at in terms of playing the campaign at the time, I think I'd like to go back and play multiplayer with you again, just because I feel like. I have more experience now.
Sure.
When we first started playing multiplayer, it was still pretty new. But no, it was a totally different dynamic, obviously, when you've got these Titans dropping into a first-person shooter multiplayer game. So no, I thought it was awesome.
I really liked the... I don't know, it felt like you would expect it to, like, as soon as a Titan comes in, you're like, oh, well, shit, like, we're fucked now type thing. But they didn't feel, I feel like for the most part, it didn't feel like they lasted too long. Like they,
no, they definitely have somehow modified the balance between Titans and on the ground fighters, which makes sense to your point.
Yeah.
If they didn't, you know, if they had the strength that they do in the campaign, it just wouldn't work. Because a foot person, you know, in the campaign is not going to take down a Titan on his own.
No. And like you can like, especially in the campaign, you can, if you like walk too close to like a foot soldier, you just step on them and they die. Like,
yeah, exactly.
But it never felt like you were too far, you know, unless the other team had like five Titans on the ground, it never feels like you're too far like gone in terms of being able to bring it back.
No, exactly. Like you earn that Titan and you're more powerful once you get it, but you never really felt like I'm invincible.
Yeah.
So that was good. Like I said, there's obviously a balance shift there, but it was good. I mean, I thought obviously there's still a lot of people playing the game too.
Yeah. It's had,
at its age.
And I don't know why, but I remember reading very recently, it's had a bit of a resurgence lately too. And of course, you know, the developer Respawn afterwards went on to make Apex Legends, which is also incredibly popular, which literally, like, I rolled the credits on the campaign of this game, went and downloaded Apex Legends, like, waited the 10 minutes or whatever for it to download, jumped into it, and then I was like, oh, there's no solos, and then I closed it, and I've never played it. Like, I don't know. It's tough.
That's too funny.
Like, it looks very cool. I just like, I hate playing multiplayer against people I don't know. Like, especially like something, you know, there's that dodgeball game Knockout City I've been playing quite a bit of. And that game, because there's not really like a social aspect to it, or I wouldn't expect people to really like mic up or anything like that. That's fine. Like, cause I don't know who I'm playing with. It doesn't matter, but like a bigger kind of more serious game like that. Excuse me. I got the hiccups. A bigger, like more serious game like that. I feel like you're at a huge disadvantage if you're not communicating constantly, and I wouldn't want to communicate because I don't know you. So, you know, so I would might be the, maybe
you should, work on that maybe though.
I should work on a lot of things.
Well, that could be one of them, you know, it might translate into other things.
That's fair. That's true.
Yeah.
Let's just jump into it. If you haven't played the game, we're going to be talking some spoilers now. It's been out for 5 years though. So like, you know, this, the like statute of limitations on that is over. Before we do, it sounds like it's a recommend from you for sure. I think it's a must play. Like it's
It's really. I mean, yeah, definitely download the game right now and play it.
Yeah, it's spectacular. I also love the. You know, I'm a sucker for short games. I love short games because it means like I love variety, and it means I can more quickly move on to another game and another experience, or jump into multiplayer or whatever. And I think that the campaign is like the perfect length. Campaign's about the perfect length. Spoiler warning now, the only mission I felt like I felt a little long, or the only point where I was like, I could be done with this now, is when you are I think it's only like got to be like the second or third mission, and you are kind of like going through that factory of like all these like prefab rooms and houses and stuff. And there's cool elements in there. Like, I like that you're having to, you know, it's very platformer centric, and you're having to like jump across these things as they're like flipping over and as they're like being built. And that was really cool. But I just felt like it went on a bit too long versus like the pace of some of the other missions in the game.
That was definitely the first time where I was like, oh, so this is a platformer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because obviously there's a lot of timed maneuvers and you know, you die a lot because you're falling. I guess I never really thought that it was too long. I feel like I got through it in an okay time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no. What was your favorite mission?
I mean, do you have to ask even?
The time travel one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's called Effect and Cause, I believe, is the name of that mission. And it's about halfway through the game, maybe a little bit beyond that.
Yeah, I'd say a little bit more than half.
Yeah, but. And it is like, you know, at first I didn't understand like why they were really needed, because you basically get this like wrist device from some, you know, this body, and you were looking for the guy, but the guy's dead. And so now you just have this thing, and you basically can,
which you take off his dead body.
And, you know, you start in this level in the first place, you're kind of flashing through time a bit. And so you're getting a little bit more context into the story as to like what may have happened. You know, I don't know what the two time frames were, but it's like before shit went down and after shit went down. And so in the after time, like crap's on fire and like doors aren't working because, you know, they're all blown up and stuff like that. And so at first you're kind of just flashing back and forth between time. But this wrist device that you get off this body gives you the power to control it. And so you hit a button and you're flipping between the two time frames. And this was possibly one of the coolest missions in any game I've ever played in my life.
Mm.
And at first it's just like, oh, I'm fighting dudes, but if I flip here, then they can't shoot me. And so I can like reposition or reload and then flip back and then take them by surprise. But then there's moments where you like, you know, I'm wall running and I jump, but there's nothing to jump onto. So you have to flip, you have to change the time that you're in. And then now there's another wall there. And that was like mind blowing. I was floored by that.
Yeah. Well, and just, I think you glossed over it a little bit, but part, like there's that dynamic where changing time is literally affecting the structure that you need to progress through the platforms. But it was also the mechanic for giving you more visibility to the story. So
yes,
you're like, you know, there's advantages like you to see the past time versus the current time, you know, but the different enemies are occurring, of course, because of that. And what's kind of crazy is like the enemies in the past are like just as confused as you'd expect them to be
when you're
bouncing.
Show up.
Yeah. Cause you're bouncing around and they can't really, you could just change the time, go to the other side of the room, change you back. And they're reacting to that, which was amazing. But you're also getting that visibility to the story as you're progressing, because you're hearing some of the, you know, what caused this facility to become in the state that it is when it's like on fire and blown up. So, yeah, it was very, very cool. Like you pointed out some of the ways they use the mechanics to actually, but even just some of the enemies you had to get by, you really needed to use that as well.
Totally. Like there was a section, there's all these, like, I think it was the future time. So everything was like blown up, but there's all these, like, I don't know what they were called, but these weird like animals that had kind of overrun the place. And there was a lot of them. And there was like absolutely times in this kind of larger fight in that area where I had to flip back to the other time and still fight people there. But like, it felt less dangerous than being
more manageable. Time.
Yeah. 100%. Cause those things were super fast and like grouped together and they could jump quite far if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And so I would have to like flip to the other timeline just to be able to bring your health back, just to recharge your health. I don't know. That was like, again, like I leaving that mission, I was like, I don't think I've ever played a mission in a game that was that cool. It felt so neat. Cool. And I would love to see like a game built around that. Like,
well, that I had the same thought. I was
like to introduce
There's nine missions in the game.
Yeah.
And that is one of them.
Yeah.
And there should be a whole game like
that. Like to introduce such a cool mechanic.
And you could expand on the mechanic in terms of the storytelling. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're not bouncing between just time one and time two. You could really, maybe someone has already made this and we're just unaware.
100%. Yeah.
Cause it seems like it's too much of a no brainer now that you've kind of, you know, played that, and same for me is it should be a full game. There should be a game where that is literally the foundation of the game. If not, wow, we just created a concept that someone could take, but yeah, no, it 100% could be a full game, and it's annoying that it is not in any other parts of the game.
Yeah. To craft such a cool mechanic and have it work like so seamlessly to the point where, again, you can be midair and hit it and it helps you get to the next platform type thing. And then to never use it again, like it breaks at the end of the mission or something like that.
It does,
like,
yeah. Well, and it's like, it adds a third layer or second layer, I guess, to the timing of the platform mm-hmm. aspect, because you're not just simply jumping from point A to point B. You also have to time the time shift to align with your jumps. So your jump, time shift, jump, time shift, jump.
Because like if you're too early, there might be a wall like directing the way that you would hit, and there's like fire underneath, like just crazy shit like that. Like you're dead if you don't press it at the right time.
So yeah, it's expanding on that platform jump from point A to point B with that additional time. And again, this is a first person shooter. So mm-hmm. I mean, you from the outside anyways, again, it's obviously a lot more depth in the mechanics than most first person shooters, which is what's cool about it. So yeah, no, that mission was awesome.
Yeah. I also loved, I don't know which other ones were memorable for you, but I think it was one of the later missions, and it was when you have to like, BT basically throws you onto this ship that's flying, and you have to like,
I knew you were going to say that was going to be my next one. Yeah.
You go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that my next favorite was when you're, as you said, you're thrown onto this ship and you're in air and the ship is moving and flying, and there's a whole barrage of ships heading towards the end point of the mission, and you have to get from ship to ship, and it was awesome.
And then the end of like a lot of these levels, including this one on the ship, you often have to like fight another Titan, which is like a different style of Titan than yours, but like there's a bunch of not memorable at all villains in the game that you have to like fight and kill.
They were definitely, there was no character development on it. They would just show up, and you know, you would have to,
or there would be some chatter, like, cause you steal like one of their like head piece radio things. And so you can kind of listen to them throughout the game. And I thought the dialogue and stuff was interesting enough, but it's like, you don't see them until you're about to fight them, and then you just kill them. And so aside from like Blisk, I think, who's like the leader, who, you know, again, I'm not entirely certain on his name because it wasn't that memorable.
It was Blisk, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Aside from him, like, to the point where I noted that when watching the credits at the end of the game, I couldn't put a face to the name of half of the characters type thing. So, at the end of this, at the end of that ship mission, you're like back with BT, and you're on top of the ship, and you have to fight this one that's like this Titan that's like flying. That was a tougher one for sure. And I thought that was one of the like cooler boss fights as well. Mm-hmm. Just because of that, it was like, you know, usually they don't fly, so it was a mechanic that you're not used to dealing with in terms of, you know, because you fight non-boss Titans as well, like constantly. It was like a mechanic that you didn't have to deal with at any point prior, so you had to like change up your strategy and like try to hide behind stuff and all that sort of stuff. So but that mission was super cool, and you end up the goal is on this ship is this like weapon called like the Ark, and you're trying to, that's the mission where you're trying to get the Ark, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. And so, and the ship ends up like, the ship's coming down, and like just all sorts of things are going on. That mission, one of my, you know, I feel like a lot of the weapons in the game feel very, very different than each other, which I thought was really cool as well. The weapon variety is very good. One of my favorite weapons, which I used almost exclusively on this level, there's like this cool sniper rifle that shoots two bullets every time you pull the trigger. Which I don't know why that matters now that I think about it, but it just felt very satisfying. And I think it was the going back to like how satisfying the audio in the game was and how epic a lot of the guns sounded. This gun sounded super cool.
Just the gun mechanics were good. I found that, like, I don't know if it has slightly stronger auto aim, but you could bounce between a bunch of enemies quite quickly, and it I mean, it was still hard, but you could, I don't know, pull off some pretty cool takedowns of a group of people pretty fast.
That's a good point. I do think that the auto aim or the aim assist is a bit stronger on the game, and I think that's probably because of how fast the motion is a lot of the time.
Well, because sometimes like you're literally running and jumping and mm-hmm. then aiming and shooting,
yeah,
all at the same sort of time.
It feels awesome.
Yeah, it feels great, and but like I don't think if you compare it to a game like Call of Duty, you could get any level of damage on the enemy when you're doing that kind of speed.
Yeah.
You're not stopping to aim, and you know, so there's a little bit more auto aim for sure.
Occurring. It feels like you're kind of within the area, and it kind of snaps to them a bit more than what you would see in like a Call of Duty or something.
Yeah,
and I'm definitely. Sure that's lessened as you play on like harder difficulties as well. But I just played on like the normal difficulty. One thing I thought was really cool: the game opens with like your character Jack Cooper is in kind of this like virtual reality training thing, and it does two really neat things. In that, at the start of the game, it's like, "Oh, look at the lights to like we're calibrating your session. Like, look at the lights," and it's like first it's like, "Hey, look up," and if you at that point the like inversion settings aren't set at all. And so if they tell you to look up and you do that by pulling back on the stick, like I did, it just puts it in inverted at that point.
I had no idea it was doing that.
Yeah. I thought that was, as a player who plays inverted, I thought that was super neat. And then
probably because you manually have to change that every
usually,
time.
Yeah. Every
and
game,
this time you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. And it gives inverted. You like, in case you did it by accident, like at the, like after you do this, it's like, are you sure? Like you don't want to change these. So, but the fact that it like does that automatically and doesn't just assume you're not an inverted player is really cool. For the 10 of us that exist out there. And I also really liked it. Like, you do some like basic training with kind of your mentor, and you then Latimosa was his name. You're like he's like a old timey, like he's been a pilot forever. Pilots are the only guys that can control the Titans, and they're like revered in terms of this, like, you know, they're the cool guys that everyone looks up to, it sounds like. And your guy's like a rifleman, but he's secretly been like training under this guy for some amount of time. And so he takes you through like basic firearms training and stuff in this. And then he has you run through like a course, and it times you, and it's basically like you have to try to hit every enemy that's in here, but also like make, you know, it's a lot of wall jumping and some sliding under stuff and all that sort of stuff. And then it recommends a difficulty based on how your run was, which I thought was really neat as well.
Very, very cool.
And I ran through a few times to try to get the best time that I could. And you end up getting achievement for it I can't remember what time I ended up with, but I was pretty impressed with myself.
There was a lot of achievements in this game.
There were a lot of achievements. Like, they're handing them out.
If you guys want some GP, this is one of the games to play.
Well, and I was playing this game during, they had, there's a Microsoft Rewards app on the Xbox, and they have these like punch card things that you can start, and sometimes it's like buy this game and you get like a bunch of points, but there's Game Pass specific like quests as well. But they had like an achievement quest where up to 10,000 points, which is the equivalent of about $10 US, any points you're earning through this period of time get you the same amount of rewards points. And so it was great to be playing a game like this at this point, because it was like every 5 minutes I'm getting an achievement, and now I got buttloads of points. So
awesome. Yeah. It seemed much more giving of achievements than what I've been used to in the last
And I wonder,
games.
Is it because it's like, I think that every game has like a limit as to how many achievement points it pulls from pool, but obviously when you have a campaign that's only like 5 or 6 hours and the rest of it's multiplayer, I wonder if they like have to like be more generous with them.
Well, and a lot of them were just progression based, opposed to a lot of games err on the side of you know,
something specific,
not just progression, but you know, actually mm-hmm. like, yeah, something specific that you have to accomplish that might be seen as slightly elevated, you know, beyond the standard playthrough.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What do you think of BT?
BT was awesome. And that was going to be the next question I was going to ask you, is like, obviously at one point he dies. Mm-hmm. He comes back like 20 minutes later,
but then he dies again.
Yeah. he dies twice. he was awesome. I thought that again, you touched on it, but the voice acting of him was very good. And yeah, no, it was cool. It was really well done.
He's a robot. So, you know, but he's got just a very monotone deadpan voice, but it has so much like humor and like character within that, like even within this like limited.
Well, he was probably the best character in the game. And 100% character without question.
Yeah. And I think, again, aside from Jack, the character you play as and him, like there's not too much going on that you need to really like remember or anything like that, but just the banter between the two of them and like the like non, like there's so many like jokes that like are jokes because of like BT's like logical thinking, cause he's a robot and like doesn't have emotions but he clearly does have emotions.
He doesn't know sarcasm.
And it was, I was like laughing out loud at points with some of the dialogue between the two of them. So they did a really good job. They did a really good job of making you feel for him too, because when you know, he dies that first time, I was like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
It was definitely sad. But then he comes back. Then he comes back, yeah. But then he like
dies again.
What's that?
Then he dies again.
Yeah. Then he dies again. But if you stay through the credits of the game, and after the credits, Jack's like helmet is on the table or a desk or something like that, and then it starts like flashing the lights on it, and it's like Morse code that it's flashing, and the Morse code works out to say Jack, and I think that's supposed to signify that somehow, somewhere, BT is still alive.
Well, I missed that. Did you translate the Morse code yourself, or how did you?
Well, I saw the scene and then I was like, what the heck is that? And then I Googled it. So I wish I could translate the Morse code myself. That seems like it would be a very useless but neat skill to have.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But then we could get like Morse code machines and like send secret messages.
Because
there's probably Morse code apps that you could. Seems like a lot of work to.
Yeah. Our iMessages are encrypted, so
end-to-end,
we don't need to worry about secret messaging.
Yeah,
and Morse code isn't even that secret, because you can just look it up.
Yeah, that's true. I could probably do SOS.
But it'll only be valuable if you move across the street and we want to communicate with our porch lights.
Oh, that would be kind of neat.
Yeah.
But we could even do that just with our phones.
Like, that's
because
true.
We've got the Hue lights.
That's true.
I thought the finale was pretty epic as well.
It was good. The last mission, there's just like, it's basically just a huge Titan battle with tons and tons of Titans.
I died a few times in that mission as well, I think.
I don't think I died at all.
No. The whole game?
No, I've died a million times.
Okay.
That mission, I don't think I died.
Okay. Yeah, I remember it.
One thing I was going to bring up with you, one thing I found was, so you get these loadouts for your Titan as you play the game. I stuck with the first one the whole game.
Oh, really? I
kept trying new ones, and I'm just like, I don't like this as much. And I would always go
like,
back to the first
one. What aspects would you not like? Or what did you like so much about the initial?
It was the balance between kind of an automatic gun and single shot large weapons.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the loadouts you get, although they're more powerful, they're so much slower.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, you would end up like, you know, you get one shot every couple of seconds, as opposed to a balance of shield, fast weapon, and then a big shot that you could do less frequently.
Yeah.
But you still had that available. And it was, to me, just felt like a better spread. And maybe I didn't give enough time to any of the other loadouts. They just all felt slower to me. And I, again, as we touched on, the Titans themselves were already slow.
Yeah.
And it was hard for me to translate or go back even farther in terms of speed. So I just kept defaulting back to the one you start with, which I kind of kept questioning, like, am I missing something big here? Like, that's what I was going to ask you, is if you switched to one that you ended up liking more and sort of stuck with it or not, or kind of bounced around or got more familiar with the variations between them. Cause I really didn't. I just kept going back to the first one.
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like for the most part, as soon as I would pick up a new loadout, I would switch to that loadout and usually use it like until I found another one. You know, there was one that has like a shotgun that I felt like worked pretty well.
I remember thinking to myself, that's probably what the developer wants me to do.
Yeah.
Is, you know, because you get to these key moments and there'd be a new loadout for the Titan for BT.
Yep.
And I'm like, they probably want me to just use this, but I just, and I sometimes would try it and sometimes I wouldn't. And I don't know, could never click with any of them.
Well, in the, like, you don't necessarily have to find them all too. Like, some of them are
like, they're hidden. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them are like hidden. There's also, the one that I really liked was, it was called Ronin. And so it had a sword. I just thought a fucking robot with a sword was pretty amazing. And it was a bit faster. It was weaker, but it moved a bit faster. So I quite liked that. I feel like, was there a flamethrower one or something too, or something? There was one that there shot was, like weird, like flame things. That one I hated and I switched away from after like 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah. So I did kind of jump around a bit, and I, cause you can switch them on the fly in battle too. And so there was definitely times where I was like, I, you know, would switch back to the first one and then switch to the Ronin and switch to the shotgun one. I liked that. I, you know, and it doesn't make any sense that you could like logistics wise, how could you just flip between these on the fly? Like it's no problem. But I really liked that that was in there because I definitely like, you know, some of the bigger fights, and there's like, you know, 60-70% through the game too. There's like a pretty big, like pretty big mission where it feels like it's like a battlefield. And I think they did it like you start like way back and you're kind of working your way up and there's so many Titans and dudes. And then you have to like kind of push through, it gets narrower. That I thought was a really cool mission just because it felt like it had a really epic scale, but to be able to like, oh, there's like 4 or 5 dudes around me now. I think that, you know, and I'm pretty close range. Like I think the shotgun would be more useful here. So to be able to just switch it and not have to worry about it, like felt, you know, it felt like the combat was way, had way more variety because of that, but it doesn't make any sense that it could happen, but
no. And I think probably just getting comfortable with all those loadouts and what their perks were or are would be one of those things that just comes with time playing through
totally,
again.
Yeah.
Cause they, if I recall, they're the same loadouts you can use on multiplayer, right?
Yeah. I was just going to say, and it's probably really to like get you to help you figure out what you like so that when you get into multiplayer, you can utilize that. And in multiplayer, you kind of build your own loadout. And so it's stuff you have to like unlock. Like you don't just start with the ability to use everything, but it's like, maybe I like this shield and this gun and this, like, you know, you have like a secondary weapon and stuff as well. And then the core. So you like build up this meter as you're killing guys. And then there's like a super powerful move that you can use. And in some cases it's like, you know, maybe your like minigun just has unlimited ammo and won't overheat. And so you can just shoot a ton of guys. And then one of the guys has like a laser beam that he fires that's super strong. And another one of the guys has a hover pack. And so you can kind of hover around a little bit, you know, just when you're playing, but when you have this core, when you use the core, you like float up and send a ton of rockets down. And so, they all play they play quite differently, for sure. And so to be able to, you know, play a bit of each of them and to build your own based on the pieces that you like in multiplayer, I think that that's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was really sad when BT died though, for sure.
Like, were you? I knew you would be. I was like, when he died, I was like,
I bet Derek's crying.
Yeah, I bet Derek's really emotional over this. This seems like the kind of thing he'd be really touched by.
Yeah, I did. I cried a little bit, not like a lot. Like I think
you,
it was.
You
like
actually had a tear?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't expect. I didn't know he was going to come back.
I'm pretty sure earlier in this episode I said it wasn't worth crying over.
No,
but
I know, and I was like, "Are you fucking dead?" You
probably
inside?
Shed a tear, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, I wouldn't know if it was a tear or just sweat at this point. So,
whole body's moist. It could be a mixture of tears.
Yeah, my whole body is crying about this. Yeah, I don't know. You didn't think it was like emotional enough to be worth crying for?
No,
no.
I mean, and I'm not like stone cold hard here. I mean, yeah. I'm probably one of those guys that gets teary in more movies than most.
Yeah.
So no,
I mean, I'm definitely like in my relationship, like I'm the crier in terms of movies and stuff for sure. Like,
oh yeah. Same. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. I am too.
I'm so, like, are you even watching the same movie as me? Like, how can you, like, what are you doing? What is going through your head right now? How can you not?
Yeah. It wasn't enough character development to quite get me there, I guess.
Yeah. I just feel like it was good.
And I definitely thought, again, I was like, Derek's going to be, he's going to be quite moved by this section of the game.
Just the way he like sacrifices himself, but like, and the fact that
if I knew you were crying, I probably would have cried for you when it happened, you know, it would have added to the emotional.
And like how, you know, and then even I'm mixing up deaths here cause it's been a little while for me, but when he's like, I won't lose another pilot. And then he like, at the very, very end, actually, when he like, you are expecting to die. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, like that they're wrapping it up in this way. And then he's like, I'm not going to lose another pilot. And he like throws you again, which is kind of a, like the fastball thing is kind of neat, because in an earlier mission, he like throws this like thing, and then you use like a zipline, and he's like, next time, just throw me. And then he throws you several more times throughout the game. And it's just like, trust me, it's going to work out. Like, to, you know, for him to throw you out. And then especially after, like, you know, the first time he dies, he gives you this like kit that has this really cool pistol that just like auto aims. So
I have to say, just, yeah, he gives you this gun that's just like insane, right?
Why didn't you just use that gun the whole time?
Yeah, I had that. Yeah. I was like, so this was a possibility the entire time, BT?
Yeah.
Like, you had this gun and kit in your freaking face this whole time?
Yeah.
Because the gun seems basically insta-kill.
Yeah.
So,
and it's like such a wide, like, reticle thing, if you can even call it that, is like most of the screen. And so it's like, if an enemy is within here, or up, or like seven enemies at once.
Well, and just to provide, you know, a background of why this gun is this way. That part of the game is much faster paced and more running and more jumping, and you're kind of just killing guys to add to the amount of things going on. It, you know, so I get why it's there, but you know, it, from a story aspect, it was like, this gun has been in your face the entire game,
Which I didn't really think about until right now. Which is pretty funny, but yeah, he, part of that kid also is like his core. So it's like his brain basically, which then gets put into another Titan. So the fact that he gets to come back and like, I don't know, it was just, they had a really good relationship. And then he's like,
so did you shed a tear just when he died the first time or both times?
I think it was just the first time that it happened.
It was a more dramatic scene for sure.
And I didn't know, and not knowing that he was going to come back, you know, if I knew that it was going to, that he was just going to come back again, that probably wouldn't happen. But,
But so yeah, we just ruined it for everyone listening because you all know he's going to come back.
I mean, I gave like 19 spoiler warnings. So,
yes,
you know, and then at the, it just, the end though, when he does like throw you to make sure that you're safe, and then this planet basically explodes, and then you're running and jumping on all of these like somehow perfectly lined up pieces of this planet. I thought that felt like so climactic though. That was so cool.
No, they definitely do a good job of building the mechanics up to the, through the game, to build on the, just the, I don't know, the sheer scale of the game and everything happening at once. And I don't know, it was that was very climactic at the end. And
I like the executions as well. I didn't get to do that many of them because I was forgot about them.
I didn't really
them.
Get to do any of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I think it was, I don't know if it was only boss fights or throughout the rest of the game too, but at certain points, like if a Titan's about to explode, you can basically like melee him, and it would do like a cool animation, and they would like rip the pilot out and then like rip him in half or like something cool like that. But yeah, I only got to do a few of them, but every time I was like, oh, I need to remember to do that. But then
yeah, no, I wish I had.
There's probably
that.
An achievement for getting them all too,
probably.
I didn't get that one. Did you have any like weapons that stuck out for you? I know I mentioned the double sniper rifle was really cool.
No, I kind of, it was funny because I just, you know, in terms of the Titan, stuck with that one. In terms of when I was on foot, I tended to just sort of stick with whatever I was picking up.
Okay.
So kind of an opposite. Didn't really have a favorite. Again, just lots of ammo kind of situation. Whatever had the most ammo.
Sure.
That was one thing that we haven't really talked about is you do have to manage your ammo in this game a little bit.
Because
there was a
true.
Couple times I ran into situations where I did not have any and I kind of got stuck because you can't kill anyone.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, I'll probably pick up more ammo, so I won't pick up this other gun. I'll just keep using
exactly.
this one.
Exactly. Like, you definitely have to think about the fact that you need to keep your ammo stocked up.
Yeah.
Which was
cool. There was this gun called the L-Star, which was like a submachine gun that you don't have to reload or anything like that. There's just a risk of it overheating if you like hold the button for too long. But it, again, I feel like the sound in this game is just amazing. And this gun sounded super cool and epic. And the like shots from this gun, they're a little bit slow. Which was sometimes a disadvantage because if a guy moved out of the way, you might not hit him, but you could kind of like see each shot like going towards the guy. And it kind of like, I think it gets faster as the fire rate goes up, I think, as you hold the button, unless that was a different gun, but you like, if you hit them like a few times, the people would just explode and it would make a really cool people exploding sound, I guess. but I thought that was like a gun that if it was available, I was pretty much using it frequently. Cause I'm pretty sure like when you picked one up, it came with a pretty good amount of ammo. Like it was like 150 or something. And it didn't feel like it took many shots to kill a guy. And just the explosion of the dude was very satisfying, which is, I don't know.
I don't remember using that one.
Oh, really?
No.
If we play multiplayer again, you should put it in a loadout because I feel like it was like a standout weapon for me.
I think we should.
Well, and it felt like I think we played for like a few hours together and I probably played for a few hours of multiplayer on top of that. And it just feels like there's so many things to like unlock and like, cosmetic things you can change. Like you can change the way that your pilot looks and change a lot of aspects about the Titan itself. You mentioned this earlier, it's been so long since it's come out, like 5 years. I never had to wait to get into a match or anything like that.
There's lots of people playing.
And, you know, just like most shooters, it's like pops up with like the current events and what's happening. Like it still seems like there's someone's running that stuff. And so there's so much stuff to unlock and stuff like that, which I don't know, is a super fun way to like make your character your own and that sort of stuff. So I would definitely play it some more.
Cool.
Is there anything else? Anything else that stuck out for you on this one?
No, I think we did a good job covering it all, actually.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just disappointed that I took that long to play.
To play? Yeah.
And especially, like, again, like, I put a couple of hours into the original, and it didn't have a campaign at all. You know, it kind of, like, delivered some, like, super light story just through the multiplayer. But, you know, I couldn't tell you anything about it. But, you know, I knew that it played good. That it played like felt really good to play based on playing the first one, and then I just didn't know there was a campaign, and you know, I was like, you know, I'm not into it because it's only multiplayer, like it feels crazy, but the campaign I freaking loved.
It was great. Top one of my favorite games.
One of your favorite games?
I would say it's up there. Yeah,
that is it. What else would be up there?
I mean, I think most of the others are up there because they, you know, nostalgia and played them when I was a kid, like Metal Gear Solid or Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah. One day you might finish The Last of Us and then it could be up there as well. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's up there as definitely a super highly recommended game. So can't stress that enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I think it's a must play. And again, not a huge commitment. Like even if you never jump into the multiplayer, the campaign is absolutely worth seeing through.
Yeah. It's the kind of game you could start on a Saturday morning and just play on your day off.
Yeah. 100%. I really liked at the end too. Not directly at the end, but at some point, the Blisk guy shows up and he like drops like a card on on the front of your Titan. And that's like the logo on that card is the Apex Legends logo. I meant to look it up, but didn't. I was like, is this something that they added later? Or was that logo, did that logo already exist in this game? Or is it like something, does Apex Legends, is it in the same universe as Titanfall? At this point, I still don't know. We should probably try, you know, I think there's a duos mode in Apex as well. So, and people freaking love that. Well, in Autumn, play with, you know, when we played Warzone, Autumn would play with us and carry us most of the time, so we probably need her too. But yeah, we should absolutely play Apex. If it plays anything like this, I'd be stoked for it. So
definitely
cool. Well, if that's everything about this one, I'm gonna go ahead and draw the next games.
Perfect.
All right. So since the show came back, we've been drawing two games and having the guest pick which one of those games we'd play. Just adds, I feel like adds a little bit more variety, but also means like if it's something that you know is going to be terrible, you could like, and you hate me, you could like make us play something real shitty. Or if it's something that you really like and like want to hear us talk about it, you know, just adds a little bit more, I think. So you have the choice between Perfect Dark or ReCore Definitive Edition.
Okay, I don't think I know what either of those games are.
You don't know what Perfect Dark is?
It's the only one that really sounds familiar to me, but I don't know what it is.
ReCore, I think was like, I think that's a first party title that didn't really, it just kind of.
Okay. Yeah, Perfect Dark is an older game, right?
Perfect Dark was an N64 game.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and they just announced a new one last year, but they didn't talk about it at the E3 this year.
So it's an N64 game on that's obviously been carried through. Yeah,
because it was a rare game, which Microsoft, of course, owns now. And so yes. At some point, it maybe even before Microsoft owned them, but maybe not. But at some point it was ported over, I think, to the Xbox 360.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting for you to try that one.
That's the one? Perfect Dark?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I didn't have an N64. I'd only played N64 at friends' houses. So, and I know it's like a revered title. So, yeah, I'll be interested to see how that goes. Cool.
We'll see how it ages.
I think it was like a 98 game too. So it probably aged pretty poorly.
I would think so.
Like
yeah.
most things.
Definitely.
Most things.
Yeah.
Which is almost like, you know, you mentioned some of your favorite games being favorites because of nostalgia. I almost like, you know, there's times where it's like, should I play Metal Gear Solid again?
Well, me and my daughter just played it again for like 4 hours, like a couple weeks ago.
How did it feel?
The first hour, you're definitely pretty distracted by the quality of graphics. Yeah. But once we got into it, it was fine.
Okay.
I mean, it definitely makes you realize that we had a distorted idea of what looked good.
Oh, I remember it looking like pretty good.
If you think about an old game that you played as a kid in your head, it looked a lot worse than what you're remembering, guaranteed. It's pretty distracting when you first boot it up. And you know, there's even, it's hard to know because we have different TV technology and stuff happening. And the games are playing at different resolutions than before. So it's hard to know how much of it is. But from what I understand it, if anything looks better than it did then, it's just that the old TVs hid the imperfections a little bit more.
Because they're so blurry.
Yeah. So, it was fine. I mean, the game was still great.
Yeah.
I think what was surprising about the game too, is that there's so much less depth in the mechanics than what you remember. Like games now are just, you know, and even this game, we played Titanfall 2 is a perfect example. There's just so much more depth in how you can move your person and your character. Metal Gear Solid, actually, like you can face one of like 45 degree angles when you're on, you know what I mean? Like you can't even rotate a full circle. So you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Which in some ways I appreciate the simplicity of a lot of those things. Like there's certain games that happen today and the amount of stuff that they expect you to like manage.
Yes.
Like it's not cool that they've put that much depth into like the games and the mechanics and the systems and the way they work. But I feel like, you know, half of it feels like you're managing stuff sometimes. And that like turns me right off.
For sure. But like playing Metal Gear, like you realize like there was a lot, it was a lot more, what's the word I'm looking for? Like you had a lot less choice in what you did really,
totally.
Than what you would be used to in a new game.
Yeah.
But no, it was great. It was great.
I'd love a remake.
My daughter loved it and, that was cool.
Yeah.
So.
Will you guys go back to it and finish it, you think?
Possibly. That PlayStation Mini is still plugged in, so we'll see.
It's ready to go. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining for another episode. I'm sure we'll see you again or hear you again.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me again.
Yeah. These are always a blast. And it forces you to play games. So, you know,
it does give me an excuse to play games.
Yes, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool, yeah. And that is it for another episode of the Xbox Game Passengers podcast. We will be back in just 1 month. It's going to be myself and a guest talking about Perfect Dark. If you like the sound of my voice, I'm also on the Geekscape Games podcast every 2 weeks. You'll find that right here on the Geekscape.network as well. Geekscape.net. You can find us and all of our shows and all of that sort of stuff as well. Thank you so much for listening. If you do like what you heard, just, you know, share us with a friend, anything like that, anything you can do to get the word out there, we really appreciate. And we'll be back before long. Thanks again, John.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.